Good morning. This is KURU 89.1 FM here in Silver City, Nuevo Mexico. It is Thursday, May 9, already the 9th of May. And here we are with the local flavor, con el gato loco, Raúl Turrieta. And don't forget the main dude, man, the guy that makes more noise than a... George Carr, man. Good morning, George. How are you?
I'm doing well, Raúl.
You know, we're going to let our wonderful... A wonderful guest, Will Hawkins, superintendent of Silver High. He can chime in on these few little things I'm going to talk about. You're all welcome to do so. Okay there, Will?
Right on.
Man, you're looking good, man. I just wish I could look as good as you, man. That's all I got to say.
You know, Raul.
Come in with a suit and a tie, and I'm just here.
You're never ever going to be able to beat Will at the best tie.
Will, Dr. Rosser, what's next? Ken, man, you know, who's going to be next? My goodness. But check this out. I just got to thank our team down in Tucson, Arizona, the Tucson Cowboys. Oh, my goodness, man. It was a wonderful weekend. It was a Saturday, Sunday. I got to ump three games and play four games back-to-back. And guess what? I'm still in one piece.
Allegedly.
So, in other words, the Tucson Cowboys, out of 31 teams, we ended up at 32. So, we're doing good, man. We are just firing on all cylinders, man. What more can I say? Don't say anything.
You've already said too much.
Man, I know. Let's see if they're going to let me play next weekend, you know.
Did you know that USA Today ranks the senior softball teams?
I had no idea.
Yes, they do. And I'm sorry, Raul, none of your teams are on.
I know.
They're not.
Not even close.
I would question the validity of that.
I don't.
I agree with you, but I got to hand it to the Morning Star governors, you know, Bobby Treviso and their gang. They took second, playing Bad Influence, and heard it was a pretty good game. And lost by one run, so we got to give it to the governors from New Mexico. They did a really good job in Arizona. But other than that, everything's rocking okay. I just got to say this, Will. We should sing all together happy birthday to this gentleman. Doesn't he just look so good there, Will?
For his youthful age, I will
his
tell
youthful
you,
age, yeah.
He looks
amazing. Actually, I don't have birthdays.
Happy birthday to you.
You're beginning to sound like
happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, dear George. Happy birthday to you. And many more on Channel 4.
Many more.
I hope you live to be 137 years old there, George. That's all I got to say.
Well, you are unique in the world.
As they say in England, why were you born so beautiful? Why were you born at all? You're no bloody use to anyone. You're no bloody use at all.
That's one I can use.
To the English to have an endearing birthday.
There's
song.
Even a worse one that goes with that, but we're not doing that one.
Well, I was trying to bring in Marilyn Monroe, to sing happy birthday for George, but couldn't happen, you know. But it is what it is. And by the way, when is your birthday there, Will?
My birthday is in December, December 4th.
December 4th.
Yes, I share it with my youngest brother. I have four brothers. I've got a brother below me, and then I have a younger brother. But somehow my mother managed to have us both on the exact same day, even though there are a couple of siblings between us.
I got a brother, and he's 70, and we share the same birthday also, September 3rd.
Right. Huh.
And, I celebrate my birthday for a whole month. Everybody knows that.
A whole month? Okay. I know people do that. My brother's doing that now. In fact, his birthday, my oldest brother, his birthday was yesterday. Turned 53 yesterday.
53? So, just like George, huh?
Yeah. Yes, just like George.
He's older than me.
Well, in Spanish, they say this there, Will. Te miras bien, you know, de afuera. In other words, te miras bien, pero corriendo sin aceite. He goes, man, you look so good outside, but I bet you're running without any oil.
That's
a good one. Corriendo sin aceite.
I thought we were supposed to be kind to individuals. Lift them up and celebrate.
That's another story. I could do a really stand-up comedy about that, but I better leave that one alone.
Well, we'll leave that one alone.
Well, you know what, Will? I'm so glad you're here. It's been a very interesting road and what's been going on with the Silver Consolidated Schools. And you coming in a couple years. You've been here about 3 years already?
Yes, this is I'm completing my third year.
See, and I've been in that county looking at tax rates and assessments, values, and so on for 40-plus years, and never did notice about the rates on the schools compared to the whole state until you had to come down here and just made a phenomenal discovery on how our rates are, and it's very, very important that we need to educate our schools and be up to par in a lot of things. And it would be nice for you to kind of give a little breakdown on what's going on these rates, and hopefully that we can actually get some millage passed for the schools so we can actually move the needle at least a little bit here in this community.
You know, Raul, I think I want to interrupt for just a second and advise our listeners, this is a time to pay really serious attention.
Thank you.
Because this is one of the most serious issues confronting our community. And it's a real honor to have you here, Mr. Hawkins.
Well, thank you. I do appreciate the invite. I hope to be invited back a lot between now and the beginning of the next school year.
Because you're very welcome all the time.
There's going to be a lot of conversations. And this whole conversation started shortly after I arrived. I would go to games. I would go to meetings. I would go to places and visit with parents and cheer on our students. And inevitably, I would get the question of, you know, this soccer field would be great if we could do X. Or how come, you know, our football field doesn't have this? Or have you been over to our campus, you know, out in Cliff? Now, we really need to take care of XYZ. Why don't we have? Why is it like this?
Talking about the football field, isn't the running track still made out of dirt?
Yes, over at Silver High. absolutely. It's got that classic feel to it, right?
Man, all the way around. I thought I was playing in Old James Stadium, but no, go ahead.
But to your point, right, those were questions I was constantly getting, and I struggled being able to articulate the answer as to why are our facilities in the state that they're in. Not that they were in horrible condition, but it was not the same as if you would go down the road to different places, right? You could see the evolution and continued modernization while we were kind of struggling. You know, we rely on the generosity of our community with our SB9 and House Bill 33 dollars to maintain our facilities. It's wonderful that we have that blessing. But based on those fundings and funding sources alone, that's pretty much all we can do, maintain and patch. The more I started to look at how we fund our schools, the picture began to be painted as to why we're in the situation we're in. You know, schools rely on local tax revenue to rebuild, to replace, to replenish, to remodel, right? The state funds schools for operations, staffing, curriculum, instruction. There are two separate pots of money, and they're very specific in how we can use those dollars. Based on your community valuations, your tax valuations, and what those rates are, that's what determines how you build, maintain, and take care of your schools. As I started looking at it and having conversations and delving into the numbers, that's where I began to understand why our schools are in the situation that they're in, right? And it basically paints a picture of our facilities that are just about knocking on 100 years old. And the way we fund them at, which is wonderful for a person living here, at the lowest tax rate, or one of the lowest tax rates you can possibly do. And that doesn't afford the schools to be able to maintain them the way a parent, a grandparent, or a citizen would want to take pride in their facilities.
You know, looking at the numbers and so on, you know, once again, state of New Mexico, we're pretty much at the bottom when it comes down with the rates. Here in the state of New Mexico, not talking about the nation, the state of New Mexico, you know, we're on the lowest five in the whole state on our tax rates. And that's the total rates when it comes down to the schools, municipalities, you know, the bond capacity and so on. We're literally fifth. I mean, we're at the bottom five in the whole state. And when I saw that, it was just like, oh my goodness, you know, we need to bring it up, not only that, for the schools itself. And I just want to say this, that I know that the town of Silver City would always say, let the schools get the rate increases, no matter how you look at it, because there's still a lot of room in the municipalities. There's still a lot of room for the counties and schools especially. Right. And I know that we should be at least – this is my opinion, and Saboritos listeners out there, This is my opinion. You're looking at about at least 12 mils, you know, for the schools for the past, let's say, 30, 40 years, and we're barely at about 5 mils.
We're at 5.47. To put that into perspective, there are 89 school districts in the entire state of New Mexico. When you look at our millage and the way in which we pay our debt to pay back whatever bonds or capacity we have, ours is set at 1.927, which is pretty low. You know, if you're paying back a mortgage or a credit card, right, and you're paying it back at the lowest rate you could possibly do, then you're barely keeping the minimum, right? And that's where we're set at, to put that into context. And so in 2017, right, the community was awesome and generous and went out for bond for $20 million to do some remodeling around the district, right? And in order to pay back that debt, you have to set a valuation, right? And so ours is at 1.927. Well, we're almost done paying that off, but we have our millage set at so low that this year we're not even going to be able to pay that off at its current rate. It's going to have to go up just a little bit. The state comes in and says, you can't pay back your debt. So they're going to come in and adjust it no matter what we do so that we can afford to pay the minimum of what we owe. But in comparison to 89 school districts, we are ranked between 16th and 12th. Here's why I say 16 and 12. 16 if you count all the schools, but about 5 or 6 of those schools don't even have a debt levy. Right. And so we shift down further because they don't have a debt. If you're in JAL or Eunice or Artesia, you probably don't have the same type of debt levy because you've got Mac Chase money. Right. You've got oil and gas money. And some of your smaller schools like Animas, Elida, Floyd, Zuni, they don't have those. They don't have that set up. So the further you look at this information, the more you realize as far as schools, districts that are trying to fund and take care of their facilities, we're ranked way down there. And you compare that to our neighbors, whether mm-hmm. it's Deming, right. Hatch, Gadsden, all of those communities. And I say that not in a negative light, but those communities kind of have a higher debt levy, which they're using to generate funds to continue to maintain and improve their facilities. You know, so if you go down to Gadsden, if you've got a kid playing a team out in Gadsden, you've been there, right?
Absolutely.
And they've got, no disrespect to Gadsden, they've got a pretty poverty-rich community. When I use the word rich, they've got a lot of poverty down there, right? And you go, but you look at their high schools, you look at their schools, elementary schools, they're building and they're thriving and you're going, how can they afford this? Well, they're taking advantage of certain opportunities within the state as a community to fund and improve the quality of education and facilities in their community. And that's a direction we want to think about. But whether we go in that direction, whether we look down the road at Deming, at their new high school, or look at what they've done in Hatch, the reality is we've got to start somewhere to address the physical needs of our campuses, from Cliff all the way to Harrison, to all the way across the district.
It's amazing because you even look at Alamogordo. That's a wonderful facility. And I usually compare Alamogordo, you know, if you take out the Air Force Base, there's a lot of comparison there in Alamogordo here in Grant County.
Right on.
And I use that I use a lot of their information for Grant County. But George, you got to see the facilities there, man. It's just amazing.
Well, I have, yeah. It's Mr. Hawkins brought along a chart that has the ranking of our school facilities compared to all the other public high school or public school facilities in the state, and it really grabbed my attention. We do not have a single school building which is above the median ranking. I mean, every one of our school buildings is below the median.
Yeah, when you look at the ranking of schools, I love the way you said that. There's over 800 schools, public schools, in the state of New Mexico. And each of the campuses are evaluated based on the way they're maintained, the facility age. There's a whole process that ranks it. And they come out every year and they walk our schools. And again, hats off to our maintenance team. They do a phenomenal job with what we have. That we keep the lights on, we make the repairs, we patch what needs to be patched, and we make sure that the conditions, to the best of our ability, are conducive for learning. That being said, we've got some of the lowest-ranked schools in the state of New Mexico as it relates to the condition of the facility. Cliff, out in our wonderful community of Cliff, over 800 schools in the state of New Mexico, it's ranked the 12th worst-conditioned facility in the state, right? You've got 6th Street, which is ranked the 33rd. You've got Jose Barrios, which is ranked 158th. Most of our schools are on that bottom side, to your point, of 400. And so when you're looking at about 175 schools, 175 schools in that lowest ranking qualify for standards-based engagement from the PSCOC, right? And that means that they can go to the state and request match dollars based on requirements for either rebuild or significant replacement or renovation. Right. And then once you get on the other side of that below 350, which almost all but one of our schools qualify for, you can qualify for systems support from the state, matches. Right. And when I use the word match, the state expects you to jump in and put skin in the game. There's no, hey, we see you guys have a need with a number 12 campus. Let us fund that 100% for you. No, in order to get that type of support, you've got to meet certain requirements. But to your point, all but one of our campuses below that 350 mark that is ripe with the opportunity for the state to come in and match and give us support to improve our facilities.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up because I was very happy that I was asked to do a presentation down in Cliff for the school board and talk a little bit about the millage and talking about our valuations, our rates, and so on. And you got to hand it. Cliff is a very well-organized parents and so on, and they're very, absolutely, very in tune about getting that school or a new school there in Healing Cliff area. And let me just say, I played basketball many, many years there, and it's the same gym, and I don't want to say it's a hazard or anything like that, but, you know, we really need to come up to the times, especially in pretty much in that area. Right. And I just got to say that with people organized there, it can be done. And I did have a lot of individuals come in and call me about what is it going to do if we do increase the rates. We're not going to talk about the 10 mils, okay? That would pretty much be it. Bottom line is, it's just going to increase the 4.1 mils
right,
and what it does. And if you look at the statewide average through the whole county, you know, it really is not that much compared to, let's just say, Luna County, right, compared to Doña Ana County, especially, you know, like in Alamogordo. It's really, you're actually bringing everything up to par. And if anything, and then you still got to look at, and thanks for this printout, you look at the square footages of all the schools and so on. That is very, very important.
Yes. You bring up a couple of good points. And part of this conversation has a cart before a horse. The reality is I started this conversation looking to answer the question to our community, why are our schools in the condition they're in? We also have to do a process every 5 years called the Facilities Master Plan. Every 5 years, schools are required to submit, what are you going to do to address conditions and circumstances in your schools? You bring together folks that represent your campuses, your community. You bring in an entity to come in and evaluate objectively all your schools, the capacity of your schools, the age of your schools, the number of students enrolled, the staffing, the trends of demographics, birth, everything, to give you a plan to be able to take to your school board to say, these are the needs of your schools objectively. Here are some feedback and suggestions to make improvements. And so right now, we're on the tail end of completing that facilities master plan with a committee of approximately 40 to 50 folks that started in January.
You know, I would just want to apologize. I wanted to show up for that meeting. I just got a lot going on in my office. Plus, you know, I had to go out of town yesterday and everything. How did that meeting go? And it was on the day before yesterday.
Yes.
Can you just talk a little bit about that before we get into a little bit more about what it's going to do if we, increased these millages.
So the committee, to summarize how the last meeting and the previous meetings went, you know, they started to look at the priority needs, priority ones, twos, and threes, and fours, and fives, and ranking the priorities based on the research that the committee has done and was brought in to advise us, right? They also look at the capacity, meaning the reality is the schools and the age of the schools and what they were designed for to house the number of students, that was a time ago. And right now, the number of students enrolled in our schools has significantly dropped. You're looking at approximately 45 to 50% of each of our buildings are being used to capacity, give or take, right? And I'm overgeneralizing, but I'm giving you the statistics. So we've got a capacity issue. So meaning we've got more space in building than we do students. And so over the next part of this five-year plan that will be taken to the board, there's going to be conversations of what are the best approaches to address the fact that we are trying to maintain more building than we have student. We spend about a little over $1.5 million a year, $1.5 million maintaining space that is occupied as a school but maybe is not being used efficiently. Right. So the Facilities Master Plan Committee this last meeting really talked about that issue and really came up with some recommendations that will be taken to the board. So you take that Facilities Master Plan along with the conversation of how do we address the needs of the facilities, and you start to see a picture that comes together that says, okay, over the next 5 years, we've got to address these building needs, and we also have to make adjustments system-wide to be more efficient and still serve our students. And so the board's going to have some interesting engagement over the next several months.
Well, you know, Will, I really appreciate you brought that up because you just hit my little forte when it comes down to, you know, valuation and buildings and so on. And Ken, don't get upset about this. The efficiencies of these buildings compare to an 88-year-old building,
right,
to a hybrid that George drives and I drive, it is just amazing. Then the Buick that Ken drives, that's an 8-cylinder. That was just talking. Okay, there, Ken. So don't get
upset. No, I sold that car a long time ago.
You sold it. 88.
It is a classic, I'm sure.
It is a classic.
But I just need to let let the listeners know the Saboritos, where you're looking at a couple buildings that are over 80 years old. 188, 186, and that's the one in 6th Street. And I remember that back in the day. Mm-hmm. And you're looking at Cliff Schools of 88-year-old schools. The efficiency, you know, how much more can you going to throw into these buildings? You know, just a prime example, like a hospital, okay? To keep the upkeep is going to cost more if you just actually got the money to actually be one that's more efficient. And I'm looking at Jose Barrios. I can't believe that's a 75-year-old building.
Yeah.
Cannot believe that. I went to school there, and it was called 6th Street back in the day. So if you look at the ages of these buildings, and if there's any way possible that we can actually replace some of these buildings, like I said, eat that elephant one bite at a time.
Right.
You know, look at how much money you would say just in maintenance, and not only that, on deferred maintenance.
Right.
It would just be amazing. Like I said, We're just spending a lot of money just to upkeeping these buildings.
At our current rate, and again, I'm putting the cart before the horse because the board really hasn't had time to really engage this. We've been talking for about since February, January, and before, but really presenting it and having conversations at board meetings about what it's going to take and what we may need to do. And so the board hasn't made final decisions on whether to take the question of a bond or not. But we're getting close. I feel like in May there's going to be some decisions made to address it. This isn't an urgent situation, but it is a situation we can't put off any longer. It's going to take us time to right-size our district. It's going to take us time to invest the dollars, however the community decides to support, to really get all of our schools that we're going to utilize back to where they need to be. And so the conversation we have is not, oh my gosh, we got to do this and it's going to happen overnight, right? You're not going to wake up in October next year and boom, brand new schools or even next year, a whole new building anywhere location. This process takes time. But the longer we put this conversation off and not engage it, the longer it's going to take before students who are in our fourth and fifth and third and middle school get to experience what they deserve in being in an environment where they're on the same footing as our peers in Deming.
And how are you going to catch up, you know, with the cost of materials, the cost of, inflation? I mean, let's set up a number of $50 million right now.
Wow.
You know, you go down 5, 6, 7 years down the road, that's probably $70 million. You know, how are we going to actually catch up, to those amounts? It is just amazing because you look at the building cost, me being a property appraiser, it is amazing what's happening with the cost approach on these, these improvements. And that's a lot of money.
It is a lot. You know, once again, the longer we wait to even begin, the more expensive this engagement process will be. The reality is that the state has provided a wonderful opportunity for schools because the state – I don't want to use the word flush with money because it makes it seem like there's a Donald Duck character, you know, Scrooge McDuck swimming in gold coins somewhere. I stop short of that. But they have, you know, thank you to our oil and gas parts of the community, the state, as well as other parts that have contributed. They've amassed a good savings, right? And schools, in our previous setup, many school districts had rankings of a match that in order to get support from a funding, you had to have X amount of dollars to meet their percentage. Many schools like Silver, you had to have 93% approximately. We had to fund 93% of a project, and the state would come in and go, hey, you're doing well. We'll give you 7. Right? So for every $93, we'll give you $7. Well, the reality is, depending on your tax base and where you were at the time, you might not be able to afford a $40 million building if they're only contributing 7, if your tax base still is below generating 36, right? So that was a stretch. About a year ago, the state recognized this because they had amassed so much savings that they said, okay, we've got to do something to help some of these districts out. So for 2 years, they've set it up where they adjusted the match where it's now 63-37, right? So we, for every $63 that we spend, the state comes in and says, we will spend 37. So during this period, if you go to PSFA and PSCOC, which is the public schools, facilities, and PSCOC, Public Schools Capital Outlay Committee. Okay, yeah, I remember that. If you go to those two committees in order, right, and go through your process, you can petition for match for 63. We're going to come up at 63. Will you guys match us at 37, right? And so you can do that. Here's the problem for communities like ours and many around the state. It's not enough.
It's not enough.
You know, when you look at, you know, our taxable valuation, and I won't get into the details of that, we as a district can only generate at our best when we don't have bonds out and we're not paying what we pay. We have a max of $36 million. That's the max we could ever, that we currently could apply for as a match for bonds. However, we still have a bond that we're finishing off paying. So at the most right now for us is about $26 to $28 million that we have available to us to ask our community, would you support us doing some engagements? So if you take that $26 million, right, and if you add to that their 37%, did I say the right 37% match, that will add to that 26 to give us the possibility of doing some things in our community. But there's another way as well. What many school districts around the state, and not many, but many more, are coming to the point of recognizing that once you hit a threshold that the state says you have invested and you're doing your part, we will come in and contribute more. Once you hit this threshold, we will recognize that, you know what, this cost is probably more than you can generate. Let us see how we can do more. And that's 10 meals. Once you are at 10 meals as a community, you basically have shown the state, whether we like it or not, you've shown the state that as a community, we have decided this is how we are going to support our schools. And you know, PSCOC, that's not enough. So how are you going to help us out? PSCOC evaluates your facilities, looks at what you can contribute, and then they can say up to 100%, we will do this part, right? So when you're in a community like ours and you have multiple buildings in need, you've got three buildings that are really on the verge of, okay, we've got to do some rebuild or replacement. You have three potential facilities that need that, plus all the remodels you need, air conditioning systems, sewage systems, plumbing systems, roofs, right? We can invest all of our dollars in one building. So we've got to take care of multiple facilities. PSCOC comes in and says, you know what? You're going to be stretched thin. Here's how we can help.
Let me help you out. You know, talking about helping out, 88-year-old buildings, my goodness, for high school. That's just amazing, you know?
That's older than I am.
I know. Well,
that's really old.
I beg to differ, but, you know, it is what it is. But you know what? We are here at KURU 89.1 FM here in Silver City, Nuevo Mexico. We got the superintendent from Silver Consolidated School, Will Hawkins. Just joking, George. You know, I know you threw a little bit at me, but happy birthday once again. We do have George and Ken. And it's just, and once again, you know, just to keep the airways going, we need a little bit of, you know, help here and there. Yeah. And I know your birthday presents were in the millions, but it's okay. You might be able to donate a little bit to the radio station, right, George?
Actually,
Then I woke up.
I was going to say, well, that's...
I'm more interested in helping out to public schools.
I know. That's thank exactly
you
right. But
thank you.
The thing is that here we are in this small radio station, and actually we do need a little bit of help also, too, there, George. And it is what it is.
That's right. I'd like to thank everybody who's made a contribution to our radio station during Give Grandly. We have an $8,000 goal to meet. We're a little bit short of that. And it's an easy thing to make a donation. You can do it in one of two ways. You can go to givegrandly.org and look us up, and you can make a donation through Give Grandly. And actually, we'd kind of prefer if you did that. You can also do it the old-fashioned way, which is to go to our webpage, gmcr.org, click on the donate button. Or you can come down here. If you get here before 9 o'clock, you can see Will Hawkins in person and evaluate his tie. Right.
That's a bad-looking tie, man. That's all I got to say.
I'm rocking Hanna-Barbera today. So.
I really like Raul's tie this morning.
Thank you very much.
It has flair.
Very nice, yeah.
But it still doesn't.
No,
I'm
getting here. You know, I'm going to have to give you all my tie tacks, okay, there.
No, I would appreciate that. Nothing really complements a good tie accommodation than the right tack that just draws it all into a center place.
You don't want too many because then it starts getting tacky, though.
Yeah, I walked into that. I'll own it. That was pretty foreseeable as a comment. You know, as we talk about the conditions of our schools, I would be remiss if I didn't talk about the education that we're also being able to provide our students. You know, our facilities definitely need some TLC beyond the Band-Aids that we're putting on them now. But academically, you know, our teachers, you know, come to school with the resources, and we provide resources. Teachers always invest as well, parents. But academically, our students are engaged well, if not exceeding our peers in our regional area and around the state. You know, we've got three spotlight campuses in Silver. All of our schools are also outside of those, they're ranked as traditional, meaning, you know, we're meeting the requirements of the state. Everyone in the state of New Mexico knows that we've got to do better academically. There's no question about that. And so we're continuing to improve the learning environments. But when you look at a spotlight campus, that means, you know, three of the schools in our district, at least, they recommend in top 25, top higher percentage to other districts that, you know what, you got to go to this campus. You need to go to JB and see what they're doing. Mm-hmm. You really need to get out to Cliff and look at that campus and see what they're doing. Go over to 6th Street. They've got something happening over there. And so as we talk about our facilities and we talk about the needs of what we want to do, I don't want to for a second take away from the education that we're providing for our kids. Do we want to get better as a ranked state in the nation? 100%. Right, we're going to continue to look at our scope and sequence and alignment. We're going to look at how we're preparing our kids, continue to use high quality instructional materials. Right, the building that we're in and what we're able to do for our students just really goes to show you the quality of educators and support staff that and leadership that we have in our schools. Because despite what we have in some situations to work in, our teachers are doing an amazing job. And it is Teacher Appreciation Week, so I think it's important that we take that moment to appreciate our teachers and thank them for the sacrifices that they make every day. Also for our nurses as well. You know, this is Nurse Appreciation Week as well. Yesterday was Nurse Appreciation Day, and we've got some of the most compassionate, wonderful ladies and gent that you're going to find in a school building.
All right.
Thanks for, thanks for bringing that up.
I want to point out that overall, the state of New Mexico ranks 36th in the amount of money per pupil that gets spent.
Yeah.
Silver Consolidated Schools is below the national average. The average for 2022 was $13,000, roughly.
Okay.
Now, we hear all the time about how people are unhappy with the level of substance abuse and problems in the community. Josiah Correa Hempel was here explaining very carefully that what happens to kids when they're at a young age really makes a difference in that kind of outcome. The cost of keeping an inmate in New Mexico is $19,200. That's $6,000 more than what gets invested in schools. And I'm sorry, you know, people need to really think very carefully about what priorities should be in public expenditure. And for Mr. Hawkins to come in here and point out, you know, the deficiencies that we have in the school district, this is a problem that needs serious attention.
It's a tough conversation to have. And this past fall and spring, as I was going to different meetings and talking with folks, it's not easy going in to say, you know what, we enjoy a wonderful tax rate. If you're a homeowner here, you've got a wonderful tax rate as far as low as it is. And it's uncomfortable to come in to say, I love it. I pay taxes here as well. But I also recognize that at that rate, I also see the repercussions of what's happening to our schools and other facilities that are funded locally. You know, if you're from California, right, or if you're from Nevada and you sell your home and you think, hey, I'm looking on the map, where do I want to go? And you see Silver and you go, hey, their tax rates are pretty low. I'm going to go buy a house there. That's awesome. I recognize that those are tough conversations to have. But when you are a resident here and you have children here, or your grandchildren here, or your niece and nephews are in our schools, you also have to recognize that just as someone took care of you and made sure that you had a facility that was heated well, that cooled off well, and had a roof that never leaked and made sure that you could learn, it's our responsibility to take care of the kids we have now and those who will come following those students. Realize those same students will be our lawyers, our local city leaders, and working in our stores. And we want to make sure that we can prepare them in the same careers and advanced facilities so that they can bring and keep those skills here in our community. So even for those who are coming from out of state, you want to make sure you've got a nurse from Silver, who stays in Silver, who is well-educated, right? You want to make sure that your mechanic living here, going through our schools, has had the training and resources. Everyone who lives in this community is vested in making sure our kids educated and have a good school system of facilities to take care of them, every one of us.
Yeah, and if you're out there listening to this and you're complaining about the fact that you can't get a good tradesman to do some kind of service, or you don't have the kind of health care that you really want, think carefully about investing some money in our public schools.
Right, these kids are going to come through.
And, you know, people leave here, you know, when they get to be that age, they'll stick around if there's a good educational opportunity.
This community is really thriving, and one of the reasons, again, I love that I was able to bring my family here. It's a wonderful community. You got an awesome university. You've got kind generous folks in our community, but you also have growth. You may not see it, you know, for example, the rec center. You know, shout out to Priscilla Lucero,
oh my goodness,
Lieutenant Governor.
That's amazing.
Right, and all those who contributed, Freeport, who came together and said, this community needs this this facility for our youth, for our seniors, just to continue to provide a wonderful way of life. Right. And so you see that happening.
A healthy way of life.
A healthy way of life. Right. And so we want to continue to let our community and those in our region know that Silver is a community that is growing, that is thriving, that is investing in itself, because we're not going anywhere. Right. And so to your point, there's a lot of investments being made. The same way that we're doing that, other communities are taking notice and taking those steps to invest in their schools. Mm-hmm. You know, shout out to Deming, right? Mm-hmm. If you've been down to Deming High School, you've seen their facility and the investment they've made in CTE. You can see what they're doing in Gadsden and all of their high schools. You can see that same thing in Hatch, right? And you know, Cobra's having conversations just like we are. You know, right now, everyone recognizes that the way in which you continue to revitalize your community is investing in your youth, right? That you've got to do it. And so it's a tough conversation. I don't relish it. You know, I have to wear glasses and a hat when I go to the grocery store because I don't want someone to be angry. But we've got to have tough conversations so that in the next 5 to 10 years, we can be on the other side of what we want. And I use the term 5 to 10 because, you know, there's going to take time to get what we want, but we've got to start somewhere.
Do you mind, Will, for me to throw a couple numbers out there if it'd be okay?
By all means, sir, please do.
You know, being in the assessment field for the I don't know how many years, but it's been a lot of years. And, you know, we've literally have broken down how much you know, how much the property taxes, you know, due to valuation. And once again, we do have one of the lowest rates in the whole state. And breaking it down to dollars and cents is very, very good to look at it that way. But if you really look at about a $50,000 home, you know, if it did increase to 4.1 mils, you're looking at about an increase of $68. Okay. If you really look at that, you're looking at probably about $5.67 a month.
Well, you know, just to be very clear about this, you're using the 4.1
that
mil
is
increase, mm-hmm. so that we get to the 10 mils, so that we get to the opportunity to have increased state matching.
That's exactly right, and I love the way you tied that together. If you go to the 4.1, we increase our opportunities to get additional above and beyond the minimum 37 state matching. And when you use the term the 50,000, there's a refinement in that too, isn't there?
Absolutely.
It's not just a $50,000
home. No, it is actually valued at one-third of the property value. So once again, and I'm not going to get into
right
any complications of the exemptions and so on. But if you look at just $50,000 improvements with the 4 mils, you're looking at an increase of $68, okay?
Yep.
And in the city limits, okay, only $50,000 homes, you're only looking at about 426 homes. In the one-out district, you're looking at 247 homes. Okay. So I've broken it down to how many buildings, how many improvements and so on. And let's look at the $100,000 homes. Okay. At the 4.1 mils. And that's only $21 per thousand. And we've been at $17 per thousand for I don't know how long.
Yeah.
You're looking at an increase of 137 a year. Okay. And you break that down, you're looking at $11 a month.
$11 a month.
And you go to a fast food joint and you pay that just for one meal. I mean,
A cup of coffee.
I mean, if you really look at it, I mean, we have to invest, you know, for our future, and that's our kids.
And when you're talking about a $100,000 home, what the real actual value is $300.
That's correct.
That's exactly right when you look at that breakdown.
So, you know, it's quite interesting because I've actually – and let's just look at a $100,000 home. You're looking at there's 874 you know, in the city limits, and you're looking at about in the one out district outside the city limits, you're looking at about 533 homes. So I've literally broke it down from 50,000 all the way to about 400,000 all homes. And if you really look at it, and I'm so glad you did this, Will, we actually spoke there at the Cliffs High School. We're breaking it down to the day.
The day.
On how much per day you're going to be increasing. And you really look at it, comparing to other counties, I'm telling you, the tax rate is, like I said, really, really low. And we should, you know, really look into it. And like George was saying earlier, really pay attention to this conversation, because this might need to go for a vote real soon.
Yes. We're, you know, if the board chooses to take the question to the community, there will be a special election in August. And so we'll submit to the county clerk. I will continue to do my best to educate the community, to answer questions, to talk about the impact. I am not naive to the fact that there are many of us who live on a tight budget, right? We have this conversation that we're having this morning as if the milk hasn't gone up, as if bread hasn't gone up, as if gas doesn't go up and down. So we're talking real pocketbook kitchen issues. I'm also having in that same conversation the question of how do we help improve the quality of life for your kids so that the budget, when they get to our age, they're not having to deal in a tight situation. And so when we talk about 56 cents a day, right, for if you're $100,000 to $150,000 home, and we're talking 56 cents a day or $17 a month, right, and you're ranging, we're talking about for that much to be able to improve the quality of learning and opportunities for your kids, we can better prepare your kid to deal with whatever the finances in our community or around the country is going to be in the near future. Right. And that's a good conversation to have. And that conversation that question could happen as early as August.
And you know what, Will, I would just like to bring this up also. Due to the regulations, statutes here in the state of New Mexico, if you're not capped out, in other words, if you're not on market value, what happens to all these other homes that are not capped out, no matter how you look at it, it will not increase more than 3% per year in the valuation until you sell the property. So that is guaranteed.
Thank you for that.
Until the property is sold, and that's when we actually comp it out and put it onto whatever the market value is. So no matter how you look at it, and trust me, I'm working very, very hard to see if we can actually get everything to the balance so we can be all fair and equitable through the whole state, through the whole county. And the reality of it is, guaranteed that it would not increase more than 3% per year.
Yeah. And again, go ahead.
What was the number again for a $100,000 house, which is actually $300,000?
Well, that's a $100,000 home. If you tax it for 1/3, if it went for 4.1 mils, you're looking at $21 per thousand, $723. Per tax bill per year.
Well, you know, people in that who can afford a $300,000 house, they can afford that. You know, I agree with Will. Things have gone up, but this is not any kind of exceptional burden.
No.
Good point.
You know,
I don't know. I don't have a $300,000 home, right?
Yeah, well, that's okay. What is it for a $50,000?
Well, you're looking at a $50,000. If you increase the four mils, you're looking at $362 in total taxes.
Great. So
which was $293 before.
$293. Right? Yeah, that's exactly right.
And so it does go up
again. This is not a big deal.
It really isn't. And you know what?
Just to say, when I worked in Los Angeles, I went down to the county courthouse often.
Oh goodness!
And
why?
I saw a lot of people who lived in houses or retired, and when they bought their house, it was like $15,000 or something, and it went up so much that they were losing their house because they couldn't pay their taxes.
Wow.
You know, and so, you know, I mean, so that's the other side of that equation. You could be in a house you paid for 50 years ago, and it's worth a whole lot more money, But you've still been working as a janitor or something all these years, and you don't have, you know, I'm just saying that sometimes it can be a little bit misleading to say.
You know, Los Angeles and Orlando are
two radically different
wage, from Silver City.
And right, I know.
Property tax rates here.
No, I mean, I know. I know they're much lower.
You just go to Texas. You just go to Texas. Yes. Oh my goodness! Uh-huh. And they're valued at $100 per thousand.
Right.
You know.
Right. And it's again, it's we're talking. I love how you frame that to put it into perspective. To go, you know what? It's an exorbitant lifestyle to live in those places.
Right.
We have the benefit of living in a wonderful community here in New Mexico and in Grant County, where we can afford to do the things that we do. And if you're you're conservative with your budget and you don't live above your means, you can have a really comfortable lifestyle and take care of your family. And we want to do the same. We want to stay within our means in Silver City Schools. We want to do all the things and be conservative with our budget. And at the end of the day, be able to take care of our kids and give our kids a better opportunity at a better life.
You know, I was in Las Cruces yesterday, and I was talking about millages. I don't know why I have to be talking about valuation.
That's what you do.
I mean, it just came out, and we were talking about, you know, being at my age, you know, almost as old as George and Ken. And then we were just talking about millage and what we're doing with the schools. And you look at Doña Ana County, and that's Las Cruces. You're looking at New Mexico State University and what's going on there. And I was very surprised. I was talking to a couple of the nurses and said, you know what? My main thing is we are taking care of our, you know, not grandkids, but you know what, looking at our grandkids and so on. We're doing this for our grandkids right now.
Right now.
And that's what the name of the game is, because we're looking at it. Goes, once you got a grandchild, let me tell you, you want to do everything possible to get them educated, to get them the future that we really missed out back in the day, right, George? And it was really surprising because that conversation came out of the blue. And
that is exactly I'm here right. for,
and you know, and that's what it's all about, because a lot of these individuals are really talking about their grandkids. You know, that's what we're talking about now.
My daughter is an elementary teacher, right? My daughter's an elementary teacher. She just had my first grandchild, Mallory. So shout out to Mallory.
Congratulations.
Hawkins, right? She's a couple of weeks old. But, you know, when you think about 6-7 years down the road, your grandchild going into kindergarten, going into first grade, and eventually getting to middle school, you start to look at the facilities and you look at the schools in your neighborhood and you go, so what is the potential for my grandchild to be in that building, and will it be ready? Will it be able to educate my child with whatever is going on in the world and the capabilities? And we talk about technology and the capacity to ready that child to be able to engage on a global setting beyond Grant County and Silver City and New Mexico, but globally be able to engage. One of the things that we know now, and we saw this in COVID, it really illuminated it, is the world is coming right into our bedroom, coming right into our homes. And so kids are able to work online and engage in that world. But also, we still need linemen. We still need plumbers. We need electricians. Everyone in Grant County knows, just have a plumbing issue, and you know that, right? And so do you have the facilities to prepare those students? We have a young man, and I jump around because I get excited about this. We've got students who, whether they're going over to Western New Mexico University, graduating with their associate's degree in CTE careers, or whether they're about to graduate and be a realtor in our community, right? We've got students who are on the cusp of doing great things beyond what we did in high school, right? And we want to continue to provide every kid those opportunities so that those students aren't the exception to the rule, it's the norm, right? And we want to make sure that our facilities can set that norm for all kids.
By the time you're a junior or a senior in Silver Consolidated Schools in the high school, you know, they're already taking classes here, and thanks so much for having Western New Mexico University.
Yes.
By the time they're graduating, you know, they already have a couple of years of college. I mean, literally, and I just wish we had those opportunities back in the day, you know, instead of just starting off fresh, you know, going to college. They already got another year, a year and a half under their belt in the college world. And that's what it's all about.
No, right now, Cobre, and I'm going to shout out our neighbors because, you know, one of the things that I love about being in Grant County is everyone comes together. So Dr. Shepherd at Western, Michael Corey, superintendent in Cobre, we started these conversations back in the fall about what would it take for us to be able to pool our resources to really invest in our career and technical educational resources collectively so that we're not duplicating our resources. So if you're Western and you have an amazing construction trades facility, how do you set up and create a smoother pipeline? And we already do dual credit with them, but how can you go beyond what we're doing so that you can pull more students from Silver and Cobre? And likewise, if we had an amazing media setup, which we do over at Silver, how do we take advantage of that opportunity so that Cobre students and depending on what they're doing at Western can take advantage of it? And so we brought in Connect Ed, who's been working around the state to really help us look at what we have and likewise give us a pathway of guidance of how we can pool our resources so that our kids can get the best opportunities in our county. You know, Lee County, you know, Hobbs has built that facility, that C-Tech facility.
Boy,
right?
That is just an amazing facility.
Oh, it is huge, right? And so, but that facility building took many, many years. I would say almost 10, 11 years. I was there for a good chunk of it towards the end, right before they started building. But they've made that facility available so that Lovington, Jow, Eunice, all those school districts can come together and go to Hobbs and engage in that facility. We may not have the funds to build a C-Tech Taj Mahal, but we have the resources between our two high schools and the university and with community partners like Freeport to pull our CTE resources together and not duplicate resources and build high-quality pathways for our kids.
I went to a conference 10 years ago down at Hobbs. And that's where they actually have the racetrack, the convention center, the education area. It is just the most amazing. It's just an amazing investment to the community and so on, and has brought so many people around the state to have these conventions, to check out the casinos, to go ahead and check out the education that's happening there for those schools and so on. And why can't we do it either? You know?
Absolutely. And we have a much better, beautiful landscape to
That's
do it.
That's exactly that.
No offense to Hobbs. I was there for quite some time. But as we say,
I can say a lot of things about Hobbs.
There's no view, right? Besides that building, in which you could, you know, the way that view is, you can see that view or building for like 20 miles away because there's no obstacle there. There's no tree. There's no hill. There's nothing. It's a shining building on the hill.
I'm so glad about that. You know, Will, let me just say this, if I may. When's the next board meeting that they're going to actually vote on for them to put it on the ballot? Because it would be nice if they do pass for you to come back so we can be a little bit more in detail to prepare the individuals to vote on this.
May 20th is the next board meeting where I believe the facilities master plan will be presented. Right now, as I look at the facilities master plan needs to put this back into perspective in this whole conversation, right now, in its current capacity, and this was some feedback and preliminary back in April as we were looking at the needs, all the facility needs, we're looking at $64,600,000 worth of deferred maintenance needs. And that's going to adjust based on the recommendations that they make as priority ones, twos, and threes, and what we target first. But $64 million in deferred maintenance, and that's going to be part of the conversation they present to the board on May 20th. At that same meeting, I believe that the board will also hear from the bond advisors, and based on the recommendations from the facilities master plan, and the conversations we've been having since January, the board will likely make a decision as to whether or not they want to take the bond question to Silver City for August.
Perfect, perfect. And you know what, Will? If that comes about, we're definitely going to be scheduling on June and July for you to actually continue the conversation. But here's a very, very important question to our superintendent, Will Hawkins.
Uh-oh.
Are you ready? Are you ready to play ball? Okay, I know Mike Corey's going to actually be throwing his hat into the ring for burlesque baseball coming up on May 18th. Do you had a whole hour to think about your step your walk up song there. I know it's ABBA or come on, tell me.
No. I've got. I'm trying to decide between Public Enemy, Welcome to the Terradrome, or maybe I can go with a classic like Journey, Don't Stop Believing. Depending on, because I'm not a baseball player, so I'm gonna need a lot of faith.
As George, he played last year. You don't have to be a baseball player. You're just gonna go out there and have a good time.
All right. So I will undoubtedly reach back into the 80s to find the appropriate song to remind me of what I used to be able to do when I was out there in the field. So I'm looking forward to it.
Well, you know what? I can't wait to see you on May 18th, 1 o'clock there at James Stadium. Mm-hmm. And we are so excited about that. And I'm so glad that for you going to join and bring all the kiddos, because we have a lot of events for the kids.
Well, I'm hoping that not only my family, but if you're a Silver School student, you want to come out and for a different change of pace, you can take some pictures of me looking, and I will try not to embarrass the schools by any stretch of the imagination, so I may need some baseball and softball players to make sure I've got the right stance. And I've got to tell you, I'm really nervous because you've got this happening on the 18th, and our softball state competition is heating up. So we've got state playoffs happening on Saturday this afternoon at 1 o'clock against Miyamura. We've got state track taking place this weekend as well. State track for Cliff is taking place. Small schools are taking place in Albuquerque. I've got our district track meet taking place this weekend down in Deming. So we've got kids in Albuquerque, we've got kids in Deming, and we've got kids here at home, our ladies about to protect their championship title. And so next weekend, you've got me scheduled for the 18th, and so I'm going to be on the public record here. If our girls are down in Albuquerque defending their championship on Friday, Saturday, I hate to say it, but if you've got me placed at first place, there may be just a hat there, because I've got to go support our girls. But
you know what? Whatever you need to do, but I'm so glad that you agreed.
Right on.
And honestly, I am so glad that we need to be proud of our schools, and hopefully that we can actually be more in detail on what's going on for this next school board meeting. So here we go. Will Hawkins, superintendent of Silver Consolidated Schools. It is a wonderful day here in Grant County. We're going to take a small break here at KURU 89.1 FM.
Thank you.
KURU.
And we are back here at KURU 89.1 FM here in Silver City, Nuevo Mexico, the best station in the nation. Here we are with the local flavor, con el gato loco, George and Ken. And let me just say, Will, he's doing a phenomenal job there at Silver Consolidated Schools. And you know what? We need to do things future for our kids.
You know, Raul, we've had some comments before about people who show up for school board meetings wearing camouflage. Taking up a lot of space and a lot of air. There are a lot of people in this town who are really very concerned about the quality of education, and it's their turn, you know. They are the silent majority. They should show up.
I would like to say something about the people in camouflage, because you may have maybe misrepresenting them, because they want to go to the board meeting, and they believe if they wear camouflage, nobody will know they were there.
Very good there, Ken. And you know what? I just got to say, I will be attending the 20th meeting there for the Silver Consolidated Schools, because I'm going to say the one in Cliff, I have never been treated so wonderful in Cliff, and I never ate so good there in Cliff, so it was just amazing on that. But you know what? I know that, man, we got a lot on the agenda for this this Thursday, the 9th May, here at the Local Flavor. I got Lydia Villegas and Marianne Cedillo, and then we have what's your name? Linda Ortiz. Is
Linda
that someone?
Ortiz. Rosalinda Ortiz.
Rosalinda Ortiz. That's what I wanted to hear. And you know what? The Fight Like a Girl. It's already here. It's going to be happening this Saturday.
Yes.
I haven't even got my outfit.
Yes, you do. You have earrings and you have a cape.
Do I just want to wear the earrings and the cape? Is that enough?
And a T-shirt. And a T-shirt.
A long T-shirt.
You wear just the cape if you want. We're going to have a lot of laughter.
They're going to be
a fun day.
Oh, it's going to be phenomenal.
How was the joke with the open doors?
With the open.
Well, you guys are just really kicking it this morning, aren't you?
We're kicking it.
Well, we're up early.
Well, check this out. It's already going to be happening this Saturday, and 9:30 is that pretty much the time? Well, 8:30 got to register, and the kickoff is already at 10 o'clock in the morning for the walk.
Yes, sir. So we will, you know, we're going to have the yoga from 9:15 till 10 a.m. So make sure you bring your mat.
Oh, yeah. We got to do the yoga. Oh, yeah. I got to be there because I got to stretch out and everything. And once again, I still have my I guess what you want to call a bracelet. Like
your friendship bracelet.
Well, I played a softball tournament.
Your friendship with Fight Like a Girl bracelet.
I was playing a softball tournament down in Tucson, and I had my little pin, and I had my Fight Like a Girl, and boy, did I stand out. And I never stand out. I never do.
No, never at all. No, Raul, where would you get that idea?
And I was saying, where's this Fight Like a Girl deal? And then I explained what was going to be happening this Saturday. And then once again, next Saturday, the Burlesque Baseball, you guys are going to be participating. Man, action pack here in Grand County, Silver City, Santa Clara, Baird, Hurley, Gila, Cliff. Man, we got something going on all the time.
Yes, we do. We've had 3 weekends in a row. For next weekend will be our 3rd weekend in a row, Saturday, that we're doing something.
Oh, that is fantastic.
Yes, yeah. We missed you at the Give Grandly.
Yes, oh, I was out there playing ball in Tucson, Arizona, and I had a really good time. I really did. And I did think a lot about you guys.
Thank you. And thank you for having us one more time. Thank you, George. Thank you, Ken. Thank you, Raul.
Well, George was the one that was kind of pushing the issue. Ken was a different story.
We're always very happy to have you come in.
You know, so so we're looking at registrations at 8:30 to 10 a.m., and there is a fee. We can't say cuánto, pero it is for a good cause. And I guess everything, and doing the yoga. What time does the yoga have to?
At 9:15 till 10, and our walk will be a 5K from 10:15 till 11:30, and then right after that we will have food, music, and lots of gifts.
Well, let me ask you this. Is Carlos still into the mix? Is Carlos still into the mix?
Oh, yes, of course he is.
I talked a lot about it.
He's getting ready.
Absolutely. I spoke on the Rotary 2 days ago, and I just told him about the Fight Like a Girl there in Fort Baird and so on. And I just let them know. I said, if anything, definitely go down there just to eat the tacos compuestos.
Pastor.
And they were just saying, like, what is it? I said, if you want the best taco in the world, come and check it out. Pretty much it is. It is what it is. But so Carlos will be there, right?
Of course. And then we're going to have a fresh sopaipillas.
Oh, forgot about that. Man, I haven't had sopaipillas in forever there, Ken.
Rolled out right there in front of you.
So what other, are you guys going to have some other vendors involved?
Yes, we have about 20 vendors. We're going to have nachos, you know, the regular stuff. But we're going to have quite a few candidates also going to be, you know, putting out some tables out there, which is wonderful. Welcome to
tis
all.
Tis the season. That's
yes,
what we got to look
all
at.
And thank you for their passionate work that they do. But yes, so just get ready to come and join us. This is our last day to talk about it. So we want everyone to check out the Facebook page. We have it on there, and it was in the newspaper. And everyone is welcome. And it's the day before Mother's Day. So, pick last-minute gifts.
Boy, yeah. I know. And there'll be, stuff you can buy for a last-minute gift. And,
yeah, exactly.
And I made a mistake yesterday, and I don't make mistakes there, Ken and George.
Yes, I have some beautiful little gifts that are handmade, local.
I told Billy, I said, hey, Billy, what do you want me to get you for Mother's Day? And it didn't go good. It did not go good. I am not your mother. I said, okay, I'm sorry. All right. So I got put in the corner.
Well, we celebrate all
mothers. But she's a mom.
That's what I told. But you're a mom, man. You know, we got to throw it out there. But no, it's already going to be Mother's Day already come Sunday.
Yes, it is. One of the vendors that we're going to have is we're going to have chair massages. There's going to be a masseuse that's going to sit you in a chair, and you get to get a chair massage.
There you go, George.
There's going to be a lady that specializes in acupuncture. We're going to.
Really? Is she going to do acupuncture out there also?
Yes, she is. If you would like. And a lot of people have never experienced that.
My
I personally haven't. But I'd like to definitely try it. So that's going to be a lot of interesting things.
Man, that is great.
One of the booths, a girl makes homemade candies. A few booths, they make their own jewelry or sell jewelry. So, like, you can go to Walmart and you can go to our fundraiser.
Go to Fort Baird and really enjoy the facilities.
Yes, and have a good outdoor outdoor.
Well, and you know what, Linda, that's your vadio out there in Santa Clara and Baird.
We need that fresh air. And actually, man, we were talking about this, March 8th when we came out, and we said, oh, not till May. And it seemed like it was forever, and look, here we are.
Here we are.
The next couple of days, we're going to be running.
Well, the last walk that you guys had, that was very successful and had a lot of people, even though you did it during the week. And now, you know, there's no excuse. So we're actually going to be doing the 5K walk. Mm-hmm. That's pretty interesting because whenever you do it in Fort Baird, you get to look at the mounds, you look at the Twin Sisters, you look at the Kneeling Nun. I mean, what a beautiful area.
It's going to be gorgeous. It's going to be beautiful. And it will start right there at the theater. The theater. And the theater building, and then we're going to go all the way through, you know, walk through the whole town site.
And, you know, I was just talking to you last night, Lydia. I talk to Lydia a lot. You know, I don't know why.
Good.
You know, she's. But now that you got acupuncture, man, honestly, I believe in acupuncture. I have had so many injuries playing ball, and acupuncture has really been the answer, literally. People don't realize what acupuncture can do to you. I'm telling you, I look forward to
it. It is magnificent.
My youngest son got injured in football in high school, and he got his rib cage basically shifted back. And I took him, I don't know if any of you remember Dr. Crow.
Yes. Oh, yeah, John Crow. That's who I go to.
He didn't use needles. He actually used
agave thorns.
Exactly. Let me tell you, my son got hurt on a Friday night.
What?
Then he went to practice. Awesome. He didn't go Monday, but he went to practice Tuesday, and he played again on Friday. So
let me tell you, I had back spasms so bad, and I had about 3 games that night, and I did it Hollywood that morning. I cut probably about a quart of wood. I mean, these were big chunks, and man, I hurt my back that day. I called him. I said, "Hey, dude, man, I'm dying." I said, "I got games tonight." Did the acupuncture, and I was up and rocking. It's amazing.
Yeah, I had somebody do it to me, but they were kind of beginners, and they used knitting needles. And it really hurt, man.
Did they use any on your head by any chance? But no, that's great that we'll be having that. But you know what? What I really would like to talk about is that I don't know if that little theater in Fort Baird, the historic Fort Baird, to handle the entertainment, man, for the voices that are going to be singing, it's going to be powerful, especially in that theater. So you're actually going to have the entertainment inside?
Exactly. Right on stage, we'll have tables around there for people who want to sit inside and enjoy the music. And we're leaving enough space in the middle for our Silver Stompers. Can't miss them. They're icon here. And the food will be outside. The vendors will be outside. So people can, you know, bring your blanket or whatever. Go find a little spot under a tree and enjoy.
Well, you know, I'm a talker. Sorry, Ken, George. Just a little bit. I talked to Kiana the other night and, you know, because she's going to be participating in the burlesque baseball. She's going to be singing. She's going to be doing a lot. And I told her, I said, oh, my goodness, it's going to be amazing that you're going to be singing in that small theater. I'm telling you, with the voice that she has, it's gonna be
rock.
A sight to see. It's going to be great. I mean, it's going to be one of the biggest concerts here in Grant County, in that tiny little theater. Yes. And once again, we all hang out together, and we do everything together. Right. We join together, and that's what it's about.
One other thing that Lydia and Linda and I thought that we should do, and it is going to happen, we're going to recognize the oldest member of Fight Like a Girl, mm-hmm. and who is 95, and then the youngest member of Fight Like a Girl, and she's 5 years old. So we're going to give them recognition during the...
And you're not going to say who it is now. You got to wait until then, right?
Yes. We're going to wait till then.
Man, so I got to go.
Awesome? You got
to
go.
I got to go to that, man? Do I have to go to Fight
Like
a Girl?
We're going to crown them and sash them and everything.
Yep. Well, I'm kind of excited because the last few times, you know, I had the opportunity to talk and have... do the emceeing, do the walk, dress up, put on my earrings, and my outfit. No, I got my outfit. You're going to like my outfit. So it's going to be a very, very wonderful day come this Saturday. And then, like I said, the kickoff for Mother's Day.
exactly. And you'll be leading off the walk, so it's going to be fun.
Can I do cartwheels and everything with my cape?
Of course you can.
Okay. All right. All right.
I'll challenge you to a headstand. How about that?
Headstand up. Bring it on.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I got a pretty
That'll
flat
be a challenge.
Head anyway,
me and you
so
headstand.
It is what it is.
You're not going to beat Marianne.
And you know, Raul, we're going to have a crowd. I believe we're going to have a crowd.
Absolutely.
And I went there last year to the theater, and I attended a function, and it was big also. There was entertainment, lots going on. The doors were fully open all day, so if you're outside, you can still hear what's going on outside.
With those voices,
you know,
on Helica.
It's going to radiate through the entire little Fort Baird area. So,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, and if people want to, if they could bring maybe their own, like a lawn chair.
A lawn chair. Umbrellas.
Because, you know, if they want to sit outside and enjoy the beautiful sunlight and just see everything that's going on, bring a chair and sit down and enjoy the day, and that way you're comfortable.
It'll be a beautiful day.
It is. I think the theater has three sets of French doors.
Yes.
Yes. So they'll be open. People outside who are sitting and stuff will be able to hear. Yep. Yeah. If they can hear Raul, they'll be able to.
We checked on the.
They'll hear me.
We checked on the weather, and it's supposed to be 72 degrees and lightly overcast.
We even have a weather girl in here, huh?
Yes. Well, we checked the weather because we had to prepare in case we have to, you know, change things.
Well, that's the whole thing. Yeah, you really got to. Really be prepared for the weather, and I know that it's going to be like in the 70s. Mm-hmm. Stay hydrated. My deal is you've got to stay hydrated, especially after yoga. Mm-hmm. After that walk, you might think it's not hot out there. Make sure you stay hydrated, and don't make fun of my bottle, okay?
And we also want, like, the open doors and everybody to filter through, because we're going to have a big raffle. We have three large items that we're going to raffle off. And so we want people to filter in, so go in and see them, you know, make their purchase, their raffle ticket. You know, it's just all going to just revolve around going in and out and
doing that.
Just watching
everything
great. That we have.
So give out the whole schedule, because we're going to have to move on. Okay. I'm always over scheduling, and that's the story of my life. No,
and just realize we are going to have porta potties, because there is two bathrooms inside the building, but we are going to have porta potties outside. The Village of Santa Clara is working with us. They're going to mow the area that we're going to be in, so that's awesome. Arenas Valley Fire Department is bringing one of their engines, so we're going to have.
Oh, that's great.
I don't know. We should invite everybody, but we'll see, you know, how one fire truck will work. And then they'll be there. The firefighters will be there in case anybody has a little mishap. The sheriff's department has agreed to work with Lydia and Linda and myself. They're going to be there as well. So we've had a lot of commitment from everybody.
Well, I know you guys are going to be busy, and I know you guys are actually going to be running in and running out, and that's what it's all about. But we really appreciate you guys coming in. You know, give a part of the schedule and what's going on. It's going to be this Saturday. Show up for the yoga. It's going to be a lot of fun. And let's have a good time, all right?
Sounds like a plan.
Lydia Villegas, and we have Marianne Cedillo, and then we have Linda Ortiz with Fight Like a Girl. So I guess I'll be there.
And so will George, and so will Ken.
That's exactly right.
We'll wait for you, and let's all be ready to fight like a girl.
Fight like a girl, all
Thank
right.
You guys.
Thanks a lot, you guys.
Let me tell you,
George, Ken, this has been an exciting day. Don't you think so, Ken? Has it been an exciting day?
I'm terribly excited.
Yeah, and it's going to get more exciting as time goes by. Because
I'm awfully excited.
We have events. We got Fight Like a Girl coming up. We got Mother's Day. We got burlesque baseball. We have not only that, we have the Blues Festival coming up this month. Man, it is just so boring here in Silver City, man.
I know.
Or Grand County.
Nothing to do, you know.
You know, maybe I should become an actor or in theater or something. But we do have. You know, we have a lot of things going on, man. No matter how you look at it, Grand County is rocking, moving, and grooving. And here we go. We have a theater coming up next. And I have to have a couple apologies in hand to Miss Holly. I was supposed to go to the improv last night. I started walking my dog, and I forgot. So I apologize.
Yeah.
Even though I need
the
improv,
dog was improvising,
you know?
The dog was glad for it, I'm sure.
Well, I was had a little procedure done yesterday. It was quite exciting, and
it was quite exciting and so on, and got home, and I said, man, I got to walk my dog, and I called you. I sent you a text about, is it happening tonight? And actually, the bottom line was I had so much time on my hand that I wanted to go to, and I apologize I couldn't make it last night.
Oh, no worries. We had a lot of fun. It was a, it's always a nice crowd showing up for improv and getting to play and laugh and do silly things and shake off the end of the day, whatever you've been through in the day.
It's really fun. It's a fun class. Stress relief.
And we have Wendy Spurgeon on the show here. It's so nice to see you since the last time I saw you. It's just like, oh my goodness, things are just moving so fast.
It's blurry.
I'm telling you, that's exactly right. It is getting down to the point where it is just a blurry, blurry day. Just looking at George is getting a little blurry. And like I said, we got to say happy birthday to George.
Happy birthday, George.
Man, I'm going to beat that one with the pulp there, down to the pulp there, George, okay? But
I'd just like to remind everybody I don't have birthdays.
Well, you begin to sound like certain people that I know. You know, they don't want birthdays.
He's getting younger and younger, just like Benjamin Button.
Benjamin Button. Well, that's right. You know, before we really jump in it, we are hitting at the bottom of the hour. This is KURU 89.1 FM here in Silver City, Nuevo Mexico. I'm telling you, the best station in the nation. You can also stream us at gmcr.org. We had Mr. Will Hawkins early this morning, and then we had Fight Like a Girls with the ladies with the big event coming up this Saturday for Fight Like a Girl. And now we got theater. My goodness.
Yeah.
Do you know how to act?
She does.
I don't know. I've been trying.
I threw that question out there.
It's been about 25 years I've been trying. I don't know. Maybe someday.
I'm telling you.
You know, I think everyone can act.
Yeah. I know.
I think it's one of these things that we do as human beings that we are just wired to be storytellers and to share our stories with people.
You know, it's amazing because both of you, I've always been asking for advice on how to act. Boy, do I need advice from that kid. And, stop it, Ken. George, don't grab my microphone, all right? But I've learned so much from you guys, and like I said, I apologize. Last night I wanted to go so bad, and I was in a whole different world last night. So
hey, we do it. Yeah, we do improv at the Starlight Theater on Wednesdays from 6:30 to 7:30. Yeah, if you is a month-long, four-week class, but there's also like a drop-in fee if you just want to come and drop in and check it out too.
That'd be fine. Awesome. But Wendy, I need to say this before we really get into the what's happening with the ditch spear and so on. Frankenstein was phenomenal.
Oh, my
goodness. I sat there, and it was just amazing to sit there and watch these individuals. And what I really like about him, I had him on the radio show talking about Frankenstein, and then you see him on stage, and you guys did a phenomenal job. That was amazing.
I was blown away by what those students did. It was a student production directed by Siobhan Piper, who's graduating from Aldo. And we thank you for having us on the show to promote it. And so we had had Siobhan, and we had Scott Tellywag, who played the creature. And boy, what a presence, huh? Oh. And the makeup, Buck Burns did the creature makeup. And the lighting.
Was cool.
Tasha Cooper did the lighting, and Siobhan learned so much from all of these professionals around her.
Well, the confidence that these individuals have actually had. You know, just the confidence of these young individuals. I don't want to use the word kids or anything like that. The confidence going up there. Man, I was sitting there with Billy, and I'm just saying, how in the world can they actually learn all those? I'd be lost.
They were passionate. Yeah.
They were really passionate.
And it really came out of their heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they actually, like, all of the elements just came together so well. Like you were saying, the technical elements, the beautiful lighting, it was like the set was used so well to create so many different scenes with the different lights and the different like way that they moved different pieces on and off of it. And the young actors and the older actors like were all just amazing and great.
Yeah. It had almost a cinematic feel, you know, with the lights and the sound effects and the story. Ooh, that's so thank you. Yeah, thank you for supporting, the student productions that we got to do at the Fine Arts Center.
And now we're going to be doing a little bit of acting out at the Big Ditch. I did a lot of acting at the Big Ditch back in the day when I was a kid.
Yeah, acting out?
Acting
or
out.
Acting?
Acting out.
That was our little Disneyland there, you know?
I know.
It was a lot of fun, boy. Let me tell you, hung on the big jets. That was crazy. And now, look at now. I mean, now you guys are going to actually have events out there coming up in May, the 17th mm-hmm. through the 20th.
That's right.
And
yes, we have a lovely little series of scenes and speeches from Shakespeare and his contemporaries called Ditch Spear. So we have like Shakespeare, Lope de Vega, and Sor Juana de la Cruz, little bits and pieces to tempt you if you're not familiar with some of these playwrights, or if you're looking for some back catalog Shakespeare, you know. Yeah. It's kind of fun. Lots of actors jumping and dancing and doing silly things. And it is open to the public. It's out in one of our public parks, the Big Ditch. We do pass a hat and ask for donations to help feed the actors and all of the, and help make it sustainable for us with all of the tremendous amount of organizing and preparation that does go into a production like this. And we ask that you bring your own lawn chair and, you yes. know, be ready for a nice night out under the trees.
Well, it's quite interesting that I'm going to use a new term that we've been using, me and you there, Wendy, that everything has a little twist to it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now we got Shakespeare with a little twist on it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's just like burlesque baseball, a little twist
a
to
little
it.
A little twist to mm-hmm. baseball.
Man, this is what Grand yeah. County, Silver City is going to be all about.
Yeah.
Adding a little twist.
Mm. You should sell that bumper sticker.
I think I'm going to patent it more than anything else.
With a little twist.
It's just amazing on the things that are happening here in Grand County. But you know what? I would just like to say the Saboritos out there, the listeners, that whenever you see these young individuals performing or any type of performing, it's amazing how much guidance and how much it takes, rehearsals and so on, just to throw your lines out there. I don't know how you guys do it, honestly. I forget from one minute to another, literally.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we've been working with a brand new actor this year. And, you know, it's always kind of surprising for people that, like, the first thing you have to do is memorize, because acting is actually the actions and the things that you're doing. And so you have to kind of know those lines backwards and forwards and know how to tell the story so that you can do it while you're actually doing all of this
yeah.
stuff. And if you've ever tried to, you know, like recite a recipe from a cookbook while you're cooking or while you're, you know, cleaning up or doing something else, you know, it can be a little bit difficult to have your brain switch on and off like that. But
that's actually a technique that I use when I'm memorizing, is to speak it out loud, even and repeat and be in motion. So if I can be like walking the dogs, or if I can be sweeping the kitchen
yes.
and reciting my lines out loud, even if I get them wrong, it's just it's the repeating, I think, and also getting it in your body.
Yeah, there's almost like a sort of ritual to it. It's like training. It's like
yeah.
learning to, you know, throw a softball or something, which I don't know how to do. But
well, you better be practice.
Well, you better right? be ready come May 18th, there, Holly, because you're the main star.
Uh-oh.
I might even have you do the first pitch or something.
Oh, no. I was hoping I was going to be put way out in – left field?
Right field.
Oh, right
that's
field.
That's when you get lost in right field.
Okay, right, lost yeah. in right field. Okay. Yeah, that's where I want
to. Don't you
I'll
worry.
Be getting lost out there.
But you know what? It's interesting because a lot of times whenever I do want to memorize something, because, mm-hmm. you know, I do a little bit of emceeing here and there.
Sure.
And I do bits and pieces. A lot of it I record it on my phone,
mm-hmm.
and then I listen to it. And one of the best things that I remember is when I write it out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I got notebooks like you and Believe,
yeah.
and I just write it just to remember, you know, a couple lines. You know, because I really don't like reading out. I want it coming from my heart. It's coming
right.
from
yes,
my actions,
right.
and that's what mm-hmm. it's all about.
Yes, and that is the thing. Like, when you actually – when you know the words, when you know what you want to say, when you know the message that you want to communicate, whether it's, you know, standing up in front of a business meeting or, you know, coming on the air and asking people to all come out and support Fight Like a Girl, you know.
Thank you. coordinated monthly test of the broadcast stations in our area. Equipment that can quickly warn you during emergencies is being tested. If this had been an actual emergency, such as flash flood, fire, or tornado, official messages would have followed this alert tone. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system.
Was
the War of the Worlds.
The War of the Worlds. That's amazing. It's happening here right now, here at this station at KURU 89.1.
Out, man, it was like happening in L.A. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was living in L.A.
Like, it's happening. What? Oh, is it a test? Is this for real?
Movie, yeah. Right. Not the play. I wasn't. I was almost born then, but not quite.
Not almost there.
So, Ditch Beer. So, we're looking from Monday, actually Friday through Monday, May 17th through the 20th.
That's right.
And that's going to be, wow, that's going to be a lot of acting going on, a lot of performing going on.
Yeah, yeah. So we have Friday and Saturday night performances on May 17th and 18th at 7 p.m. And then Sunday, we have both a matinee and an evening performance. We have a matinee at 2 p.m. And then Sunday and Monday, we have 6 p.m. evening performances since, you know, we figure all these hardworking people in Grant County need to get up and about early in the morning on those days. So it'll be a little bit earlier on Sunday and Monday.
Well, that's going to be great because, you know, here's the time to kind of kick back, relax, mm-hmm. get your lawn chair, get your, you know, your drinks and relax and just check out theater.
It's entertainment under the trees on a beautiful day.
At the Big Ditch.
Yeah, some beautiful, beautiful poetic language and words, some really fun, amazing characters from these great playwrights. And we get to see these contemporary actors putting it into, you know, putting their spin on it from the modern day and from our contemporary perspectives too.
With the twist. Don't forget with the twist, all right?
It's like, how would that bumper sticker go?
And can you say exactly where it's going to be happening?
Okay, so this is going to be in the Big Ditch Park. It's just south of Main Street Plaza off of 7th Street, which is behind the Adobe Springs, which we all know and love. So if you head down to the southern corner of Main Street Plaza, there's some nice steep stairs that go down directly into the ditch. We're going to be performing under the trees right there. If the thought of steep stairs is a little bit appalling to you, you can also enter from Kelly, where there's a nice, like, long, slopey ramp that goes down into the ditch, and you can just head north until you get up to around 7th Street there.
Boy. Yeah. Just and then you know, just enjoying the Big Ditch, the birds, and you know, hanging out in the trees and so on. But let me ask you this: who should see it? Am I old enough to go check it out?
I think you are. I hope so.
There you go, Ken. You know,
I mean, all right. So all of these playwrights came at a time when theater was massively popular, and it is definitely they're definitely written for the masses. But you know, there's like some swearing from the 17th century, and
darn it.
Yeah, there's.
Well, they have different ideas over in England, because I've seen some plays over in England and stuff for kids, even, that are a lot more risque than anything would be allowed around here.
Yeah, there is. There is a little bit of risque. There are some. Yeah. There are some allusions to, you know, loving and not so loving relationships, and some, you know, some like rude things, like the occasional rude gesture, or you know, like risque entendre, or some Shakespearean swearing. They'll be all right with this, I think. And, you know, kids, if you want to learn some old 17th century Shakespearean cursing, I'm sure your teachers will all be very impressed.
Yes. There's some great words out there.
You can give them my number.
Come on, Wendy.
575-342-1328 for information about Ditch Spear.
Well, you teachers deal with a lot of kids there, Wendy, so... I think it's going to be appropriate.
Well, absolutely. And when we just did our
our spring break drama camps, we were teaching Shakespeare for kids. And so both, you know, Anna had a camp where she worked with some Aldo kids on some Shakespeare monologues and scenes. And then Hallie also did a camp. So so there's, like, I think kids are very interested. And they were younger than we expected, too, some of them.
Yeah. I mean, we've had, like, 10, 11, 12-year-olds working working with this. And, you know, I mean, what always appealed to me, I first started reading Shakespeare when I was probably about 11, and someone gave me a set of plays, and I was like, what is this? and I think what attracted to me was, you know, there's a lot of action. They're like big adventure stories. There's girls fighting and, you know, dressing up in costumes and mistaken identity and going off into the woods into magical places and discovering yourself and people making big mistakes and having to deal with that in their lives. And it's great fun, I think. So some kids absolutely get a kick out of it, and you don't maybe know if you haven't been exposed to it, whether it's your thing or not.
Well. Yeah. We do have some younger actors in our cast.
We do.
That are taking it on. That's super exciting. And then, you know, there's the older ones too, like ourselves, but we're having a blast. I love the kind of the intergenerational cast we have and, the dance and the musical elements that are starting to form around it too. So
we have the beautiful, amazing and vibrant Angelica Padilla, who's going to sing some songs for us.
Man, let me just say, she's everywhere. I mean, she'll be there Saturday for the Fight Like a Girl. She's going to hang out with the, I mean,
she's a blessing to this
very
community.
Talented
we're
human
so,
being.
We're so
know?
Lucky.
Yes. Yeah. I like music is definitely her calling. She's one of those people where you just like, she opens her mouth to sing and her whole like being just lights up. She's amazing.
And I love her outfits. Yeah. Her outfits are phenomenal. So
yes.
Look forward to what she's going to wear then. So it's going to be awesome.
Yes.
So what is the age group starting from the oldest to the
For the audience, it's appropriate for, you know, like Hallie said, for most audiences. But for the actors, we had an open call audition.
Yeah. And we have a 10-year-old. Mm-hmm. We have a teenager. We have, some 40-year-olds. Mm-hmm. We have some older folks.
Right.
Yeah. And we've got a little spread.
Mm-hmm. Boy, you're bringing everybody in.
Yeah, well, that's the idea.
And that's the name of the game.
Yeah. I mean, if you can do it, I mean, like the people that show up to auditions and that, you know, are like prepared, respectful, come in and take good notes, you know, or directable and stuff. It's like, hey, like we want to work with you. Like we want to. Are you look like you're going to be fun to work with for the next 6 weeks? You
well,
know?
Well, you know what, Wendy? I've been working with you for what is it, 5-7 years? That when you first came into town.
And time's a blur, huh?
Yeah, it is. It's just gone by so fast.
You have such patience.
I know. I was told that yesterday, so stop it. But let me ask you now. For casting, has there been a lot more individuals being involved, want to be cast for rehearsal and so on? Have you seen an increase?
Well, I have a theory that we went into the quarantine lockdown, and people started to figure out if they were, you know, when I get out of here, what is the thing that I really want to make sure I do in life, right? You know, a lot of us came out swinging, like, now's my time. Now that I'm out, I'm going to try these things that maybe I did as a kid, but then put aside. But, you know, it keeps coming back, this kind of longing to, you know, to step into the spotlight. And that's what theatrics is really addressing. And we serve youth and families go to, you know, all ages, right?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, people, I have seen people move to town, people who moved to town during COVID, and then, you know, are now out and like, what's going on? So I've definitely seen an upswing in energy and interest in getting on stage.
And Wendy's business, Theatrics, has just been off to a great Star. We have, you know, she's produced a number of shows. Ditch Beer, I think, is the third show she's produced just this year, and also producing camps and classes and opportunities for people to develop and study and learn as well. So it's a wonderful thing for the community, I think, and she's been just a joy to work with as a producer, and to just give all of this support to people that want to get you know, performing arts and big projects out into the world.
Well, you know what? We're coming into schools out for the summer. Boy, I just love that song, you know, and Alice Cooper. it's kind of cool. So now, you know, they had basketball camps and golf camps and so on. And now I can't wait to go to theater camp.
Yeah, well, I mean, and that's what happened. The spring camp happened because parents were reaching out and asking, are you going to do a camp over spring break? And I said, well, then I better.
Okay.
I'd been thinking about it, but yeah. And parents, families do really want to know what we're planning for the summer around performing arts camps. And I can tell you that we'll have some classes available in June, where it'll be probably not for younger kids. We've got, like you mentioned, lots of other camps going on in June. I know Montessori's doing some things. So, you know, we're sensitive to, you know, what families really, you know, are looking for. And so the feedback I've gotten from families is, you know, look at July. So we're looking at the last 3 weeks of July. I've reserved the Hearth, which is the old Presbyterian church.
Okay.
We use their fellowship hall side for our spring camp, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful venue for that. We've been asked to develop some musical theater camps.
Musical theater camps.
Yeah. Wow. So I'm looking for teachers. So if you're out there, teachers, you can contact me at wendy@theatricsstudio.com. That's the email. If you're looking for information, just what's Theatrix doing right now, how can I get on the mailing list to hear the latest updates, you can go to theatrix.studio/home. And that's the home page. Right now, it's all about Ditch Beer. There's a button on there. You can click to feed the actors if you'd like to, you know, pre-fund the event to help us, you know, really get the, you know, the reach with promotion and get people.
And how many actors are we looking at on those performances?
We've got how many? Seven?
We have eight actors.
Eight actors.
A singer joining us this year. Yeah. And it's, if you have, we will pass a hat, but if you're one of these people that never brings cash with you and you're like, no, I want to click the button, have it on my credit card and do that, we have the website capability as well.
So right.
We got that for you. And if you're interested in camps as well, Wendy is hosting a Shaking the Tree event.
Well,
which is...
it's not not Shaking the Tree.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's called the Theatrix Spotlight Series.
It was the new name
that was
from
the
last
year. Yeah.
The Theatrix Spotlight Series is going to be May 25th.
24th, 25th, 26th.
So that's the that last weekend of May.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be all sorts of performers and youth performers and information about
so that'll be on our page too. But each of those days will have a different spotlight. Mm-hmm. So I imagine that Friday will be spotlight on past productions like Vagina Monologues and Frankenstein. You know, one day, probably the 25th, will be a spotlight on camps and Ditch Beer. So we'll get some of the kids' Shakespeare monologues and some of our favorites from Ditch Beer. And then the Sunday would be what's coming up next. So we're hoping to get, you know, a teaser scene from Steel Magnolias, which is going to be opening at Starlight in June. Maybe a little bit from Monty's show, Tom Paine, Based on Nothing, which is going to be playing in June. So a little spotlight on what's coming up.
You know, there's just so much for the kids to do, you know. And I went to the Rotary this last Tuesday, and they're actually going to have a mural getting painted there in Baird, in one of the largest buildings in Baird. And I'm just saying, man, let me tell you, I mean, I wish I had
half the stuff that that these kids can go through, you know, during the off season when it comes down to, you know, school's out and theater. I'm telling you, I am very excited about theater, and I'm excited after seeing Frankenstein, seeing your performances and yours, Wendy, and it always seems like you got to take the whole familia with you. You know?
And that's the thing. We serve families. We want to include families. Like, I was brainstorming last night. Couldn't we have a family camp?
A family camp. You know what? That would be interesting.
You know, get maybe a special deal if, like, a group of family members come in together.
Yes.
Órale, tío. Órale, abuelito. Vámonos. Vamos para family camp por hora. Órale, I don't want to go. No, tú vas a year porque, you know
what?
We're
going as a family.
We're going to the family camp. All right?
I could write something out on that one.
I love it.
You see? And I learned a lot of that from you guys. All right.
And it's such a great experience. You know, I used to do a long time ago outreach, like in the juvenile justice system and things like that, with theater and, you know, personal expression and writing and things like that. And, you know, and what I saw was, like, a lot of kids, it's like, When you're growing up, sometimes your world can feel really small. And, you know, as family members and as community members, you know, the more that we can help, like, expose kids to new things and new ideas and different, you know, different occupations, different, you know, different avocations and things that they might fall in love with later in life. You know, it's like you can light a fire under them. You can light a fire under them for learning and for exploration, which will really, drive them throughout the rest of
their
life.
Well, you know what, keeping them occupied. I mean, during the off seasons, I don't care how you look at it. You know, I
keep them out of trouble.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly right.
Give them something to focus on. Give them a project. Right. That's how I keep myself out of trouble.
Well, you know, you get up at a certain time in the morning, knowing that you have this responsibility, and then it helps them later on in life. I just need to bring this up. Carol Ann Fagali, she actually have spoke in front of the board of directors this last Thursday here, Friday, here in Grant County, when it came down to talking about the bioreactors. And it was something we're saying, we're starting these young individuals, you know, in the fourth grade, and they're learning how to recycle, how important, you know, we can save literally this planet, you know, on recycling and not only that, bio reactors and so on. And then I look at Will Hawkins, you know, we had him on the show. Now we finally have a recreation center to keep these individuals occupied, not only in sports, not only on how to save the earth, but also theater. Mm-hmm. And we just got to keep the ball rolling. And that's what it's all about.
And if you just want a nice evening out with the family or with a loved one or a friend or by yourself, and, you know, come on down to the ditch, I hope, this May 17th through 20th,
then you really
see something new, you know.
And not only that, you know, walk downtown. I got to talk about my boss, Misty. She's an amazing assessor. She's done so good. And she told me, you know what, Raul? The other day I took my family out downtown, and she doesn't really go out all that often. Yeah. And I guess it was on a Friday afternoon because she had her familia from coming out of town. And they said, I had the most fun just walking around downtown. And at that time, they had the red dot art going on. And I'm saying, I met so many people. So many nice, wonderful people that just really enjoy being out. And here we have a weekend coming up where you could be downtown, be at the Big Ditch, walking all over over downtown Silver City. That's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. We're small enough that we could keep these kids occupied. We're small enough where we keep them out of mischief and keep them busy more than anything else. And Wendy, you're a prime teacher to do that. But you've done a lot for that.
Yes, thank you, Wendy.
Yeah, we had stuff like that where I grew up, too, you know.
Well, that's throwing rocks across the highway. That's not entertaining, right?
The highway, we would learn how to strip cars and things
like
that.
Well,
practical same here.
Practical stuff, you know, make a little money on the side. Yeah. You know?
Entrepreneurial.
Yeah.
I will say, though, you know, actually studying theater and learning costume was learning about costuming, like how to take a big project and break it down into smaller steps and schedule your time and budget your time and budget your resources, you know, has stood me in good stead throughout my entire life in terms of, wow, I know how to get things, like, I know how to get things done. I know how to take something from a vision, from an idea, and break it down and execute it. And if you're a young person and you have dreams, you know, mm-hmm. it's like, I think working on these things where if it's the youth mural project, if it's a play, what have you, you get to see a project come together from the beginning and see how it grows, see how things are awkward at the beginning and see how they become really beautiful at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what, to continue it, Wendy, you know, just like, mm-hmm. You know, we have these camps and so on. What's going to be the next play? What's going to be the mm-hmm. next event? What's mm-hmm. going to be the yes. next? We just have to keep right. it going. Just like Diana Inga Leyva, I mean, that mural, I mean, she did a phenomenal job of the presentation at the Rotary where I'm looking at all these murals. I said, man, you can just spend a day just going out, checking out these murals and having these young individuals. Who planned this? Who put this together? It was the kids.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah.
Y como se dice, comienzan los de chiquitos, you know, start them as small.
Well, yes. Right. I mean, I
get excited about this.
The thing is, I feel like I've never, like, I always got that kids are, like, because I was a kid with big ideas, right? Yeah. And I remember, like, so if you're, like, a kid and you don't feel that support of teachers or mentors around you, that you're, then you're really lost, and then you know, get into trouble. But you know, with the mural program, working together as a team, as an ensemble, yeah. you know, sometimes you're not the director, sometimes it's not your vision, but you can catch the vision and you can add your unique piece to the yes. puzzle that makes the whole even more, you know, beautiful. And so it's working as a team together.
And knowing that you're necessary and knowing that you are an important part of this community and of this project
yeah.
gives you such a, like, wonderful sense of belonging and place in the world. And I think in this time of, you know, people feeling isolated, people, like you say, people coming out of COVID and, you know, staring at screens all day and all of this, it's so wonderful to feel like, I'm part of something. I have a team of people that's got my back, and I have their back.
You know, it's interesting because, you know, you look at a lot of stuff on social media and so on where there's a big old tree and all these kids are jumping around having a good time back in the 80s and 70s and whatever, you know. Yeah. Now they look at them, they're all underneath the tree looking at their phones, and now we're actually, you know, seeing other kids performing at the same time. See, I was the worst. I mean, I'm the worst athletic guy in the world. Okay, I wish I would have had some.
I didn't say anything, man.
That's but I could hear it. That was pretty yeah. good, wasn't it? A little improv yeah. here going on. And to me, if I would have been at that time, because I was terrible in any sports you can imagine, and if they had theater, I would have excelled big time in theater. I wouldn't yeah. be here talking in this radio station. I'd have my own movida going out there on the big screen.
That's right.
Yeah. Too bad.
So that's where all the opportunities are. I mean, if it's yeah. sports
their opportunity,
theater yeah. is.
There are, yeah, there's so many different types of folks in the world, you know, and like, yeah, it's great to move your body. It's great to play on a team. It's great to read wonderful literature. It's great to be involved in performing arts or to be involved in other expressive arts like writing and painting. It's great to build things, you know, and
it's great to know how to build your own house.
It's great to know how yeah. to build your own house, you know, and
in your own yard.
I've always loved that about theater, that it's so holistic. That you learn really practical skills of building and construction and, you know, sewing design, learning the lights and sound and all of the promotion and business side of things. I mean, it is a holistic
huge.
Sort yeah. of project. Yeah. And as an actor, you are learning how to move your body. You are learning how to, you know, how to fight. You are learning how to express yourself through words.
How to scream, how to cry.
All the things.
Oh, my
yeah.
goodness.
How to tap in and how to feel free and confident.
Confidence
in your whole self as a human being. And how to have compassion for others that may express themselves differently from you.
Well, Wendy, I know we only got about a minute and a half left. Give us the whole schedule for the 17th through the 20th, if you would, please.
Sure. Friday, May 17th, 7 p.m. Saturday, the 18th, 7 p.m. Sunday, the 19th, two shows at 2 p.m. and 6 p.m. And then Monday, the 20th, at 6 p.m. in the Big Ditch Park.
Man, this could be a lot of fun.
And if you want more information, you can check out the Actrix Studio, which is T-H-E-A-C-T-R-I-X. acTRIX.studio, S-T-U-D-I-O, /home. For more information, or if you want to help
feed the actors,
please.
Well, I've already know that you being the actor, can you throw a little secret on what you're going to wear on the 18th?
Ooh.
That's going to be at the same time. Come on. Are you going to go from there to there? That'd be cool. Yeah.
I know. For Burlesque Baseball, I actually have an appointment with my good friend Mo Reyes to hit up Vintage Fantasies. So it's a little bit of a mystery to me right now, to be honest. But okay. I'm sure there will be some sort of ruffles and stripes.
Well, don't forget Ditch Beer. It's going to be the 17th and the 20th through the 20th there in down at the Big Ditch. Once again, thanks a lot, Ken and George, for being so obnoxiously loud and everything. This is KURU 89.1 FM here in Silver City, Nuevo Mico, the best station in the nation. And you can also stream us at jmcr.org. And have a fantastic day, because I am. And love you, PJ.
Thank you, Raul. Thanks for having us.